Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hey, we'll get into this later on, but believe it or not, folks, you get into medicinal marijuana, you lose your guns. If you are a medicinal marijuana user, even though it is a legal drug, you lose your Second Amendment right, which is not a right after all. It's treated like a privilege. This is outrageous. President Trump, tear down that wall because it's a federal statute. We'll get into that a little bit later on. So, caveat emptor, as I learned Latin from the Brady Bunch. But before we get into Latin, the Brady Bunch, or other stuff, let's go to the Buffalo office of the National Weather Service and bring aboard meteorologist Jim Mitchell. Jim, you guys are calling for not an old-fashioned love song, but an old-fashioned snowstorm.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have a significant storm rotor here over the weekend. But leading up to that, as we go through Thursday night into Friday morning, we have a minor system before that gets here. It looks like a pretty light snowfall for the area, general 1 to 2 inches with that. We'll then dry out as we go into Friday afternoon, and we will remain dry for Friday night. And then the aforementioned significant storm we've been talking about will start to approach us from the lower Mississippi Valley. It'll head northeast as we go into early Saturday morning. Looks like we'll see some lighter snow and snow showers break out around here Saturday morning, and then gradually pick up in intensity as we go through the afternoon. Now, as we go into Saturday night through midday on Sunday, that is when we expect the heaviest snow to fall through the area. And then as we head into later Sunday night into Monday, it'll transition to more of a lake effect snow, mainly off Lake Ontario with a northerly to northwesterly component.
Just out of curiosity, what is going to cause that transformation from a general snowstorm to a lake effect snowstorm? Can you, in layman's term, walk us through how that transformation is going to take place?
Sure. Well, with the storm itself, we'll have the general snowfall, as I said, the heaviest Saturday night through the first half of Sunday. And on the backside of that storm, our winds will switch around to out of the north, and we'll have some very cold air will be pouring across the region and pouring across those open lake waters. So that will induce the lake enhanced and lake effect snow on the backside as that colder air moves over that warmer water that'll help to produce those lake effect bands.
Meteorologist Jim Mitchell joining us from the Buffalo office of the National Weather Service and News Radio 930 WBEN. What can you tell us about the inches? And as you well know, we often in this area have the tales of two weathers. You know, we've got the tale of the South Town's weather, the tales of the North Town weather, and sometimes it seems the twain shall never meet. Can you give us an idea as far as general snowfall amounts and where they're going to hit?
Sure. At this point, this is going to be the main event with this is going to be a general snow where everybody will get some snow out of this. Probably significant for most areas. It looks like an area-wide snow. As we transition into the Sunday night into Monday, where we do go back to that lake effect type snow that you're mentioning here, it'll be more of on a northerly flow off Lake Ontario. So you're looking at probably Niagara County, those areas, and possibly getting down into Buffalo, but not the traditional southwest wind off of Lake Erie. This is going to be off Lake Ontario because the wind will be out of the north. So probably more of a general spray of snow showers across the Niagara frontier with the lake effect, not really a focus or anything really heavy, just more of a nuisance type on and off snow showers on Sunday night through Monday with that lake effect.
Just those aggravating, oscillating bands off of Lake Ontario that make you shovel your driveway after you just got through shoveling it?
They say it'd be minor accumulations. But also another thing with this is it's going to become very windy as we go through the second half of the weekend into Sunday night and Monday. So all this snow, a lot of it's going to be very dry with the temperatures being cold. So we're going to have a lot of blowing and drifting snow as well. So you may get out there and shovel that driveway, but that northerly wind may just push the snow right back across anyway.
So are we talking about 7 inches, 10 inches, 10, 11 inches? Any idea how many inches we're talking about in terms of the general snowfall?
Right. At this point, there's no real, not going to go pinpoint it down as far as how many inches each little town is going to get. It's just too far out. The storm could shift. It's 3 days away from the start time. So the storm could shift a little bit north or south. A shift of 50 to 75 miles is going to take that the axis of heavier snowfall either farther north or farther south. So at this point, we are looking at most places will look like they will see 7 inches or greater. But not going to pinpoint any snowfall accumulations at this point. Now, I said that'll be where we need to monitor the model data and the consensus coming in through as we go later in time, right, see if there is any fluctuations in the track of the storm.
At this point, what kind of probability do you ascribe to us actually getting the storm that has been predicted that might hit us? Are you 50% sure, 70% sure, or less?
We're greater than 50% sure at this time as far as getting warning amounts, which are greater than 7 inches. Like I said, we're not going to pinpoint exactly if we think, 1 foot, 2 foot, and who's going to get that because, as I said, the shift in the track will determine who gets the most snow. But this is the swath of snow is pretty wide, and the heavy snow swath is pretty wide as well. So some areas may get, closer to the 7 inch or a little more than that, and there may be places that do get upwards of 1 to 2 feet. It'll just depend on the exact track, but it is a pretty wide swath of heavier snow with this. So the probabilities, are at least 50% right now, is which why we have a watch out.
Well, we've got snow blowers, we've got shovels, and we're Buffalonians. And as I always like to say, it's Western New York, it's January, and it snows. It's not the apocalypse.
Correct.
All right. Jim Mitchell, thank you so much for your time and your expertise. And hopefully those models, it is only Wednesday and you're talking about an event still several days away. So the probabilities accuracy increases the closer we get to the actual event or potential event.
Yes, that's correct. So as I said, just monitor things going forward. Keep a close eye on what's going out of here. And the main impacts, again, will be the heavy snow. The strong gusty winds creating that blowing and drifting snow. And then another thing will be to add in will be later Sunday through the first half of Monday with that bitterly cold air coming in and those stronger winds. Our wind chills are going to get mighty cold with possibly down to minus 15 to minus 20 wind chills for Sunday night and our first half of Monday. So that's to think about too as you're getting out there to start cleaning up.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I've got 20 miles left in my gas tank. I guess I know what I'll be doing right after work today. Just out of curiosity, when you guys have a storm in the wintertime, you're hunkered down at the Buffalo office of the National Weather Service. What is the favorite snack at the Weather Service? Is it pizza and wings? Is it donuts? What kind of things do you guys munch on?
I would say delivery of pizza and wings is probably the number one thing, but there's usually some snacks floating around too.
For the healthy people. All right. Hey, Jim, thank you very much for your time. Very much appreciated.
Okay. Have a good day.
Meteorologist Jim Mitchell with the Buffalo Office of the National Weather Service joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, I've got a guest coming up, and you're really, really, really going to like this guest. I don't do a lot of guests. I really don't, but this has been almost like a guest week. It's been totally out of the norm for the program. By the way, you're wondering, hey, Bowerly, you're doing all the talking. You're hogging the mic again. David is off today. David has been off Monday. David was off yesterday. David is off today. David will return to the airwaves tomorrow. But even if one of us is gone, the show is still Bowerly and Bellavia. Even if one of us is away. I shouldn't have said gone because, we're pretty far gone anyway. The bottom line. So I received an email today that got my attention, and I'm going to read it to you. Hi, Tom. James Robbins just told USA Today that it is refreshing to see Democrats being so open about promoting socialism in America. The new progressives see no downside in pushing the Democratic Party agenda to the left edge of sanity. Robbins has written a book. It is called Erasing America, Losing Our Future by Destroying Our Past. Also a contributor to USA Today. And his quote The best thing about the new wave of Democratic progressives is how honest they are about their agenda and the means they will use to pursue it. The older generation of liberals try to conceal whatever radical tendencies they had, but progressives nowadays are more than happy to let it all hang out and push things as far left as possible. This will probably repel the majority of Americans, but given the state of things, who knows? Who said that? James Robbins. James Robbins is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Mr. Robbins, thanks very much for your time. Very much appreciated.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
We're going to get into some specifics coming up, but in terms of erasing America, losing our future by destroying our past, can you give us the Cliff's Note version of why you called your book that title?
Well, it goes to George Orwell, actually, who said that those who control the present control the past, and who controls the past controls the future. And the people who are rewriting our past, you know, changing the founding fathers into bad guys, tossing out the Constitution, this kind of thing, they're really trying to get a clean slate so they can rewrite the future of America however they want. And in this case, it's towards, you know, a more progressive socialistic vision of America.
So let's start with the word progressives. There's nothing new about the so-called progressive agenda. The Bolsheviks in Russia followed Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels' lead on that. Isn't the term progressives really a misnomer? Because Mao Zedong is responsible for the deaths of tens of millions of people. Joseph Stalin was responsible for the deaths of tens of millions of people, all under the red flag of socialism and communism. There's nothing new here.
Oh, no, there's nothing new at all. Progressive is kind of a misnomer because, you know, it implies that they're looking forward to some great utopia or something ahead of us. But in fact, if you look back and look through history, you can find example after example of where their ideas have been implemented and have gone terribly wrong. And you don't have to look far back either. I mean, you could just look last week in Venezuela where people are eating their pets. That was, you know, socialism in action.
Why are so many millennials, we are told, in favor of socialism?
Well, I think part of it is that they've been educated in a way that makes that look like an attractive thing. If all they've been taught is that the history of the United States is bad, then looking to something that's counter to that history would be good. But it's also kind of a failure of education because they haven't been taught about all of the bad things that socialism and collectivism have led to. It's like they know nothing about the Cold War, know nothing about the 20th century, and all of the bad things that happen.
There is a dreadful ignorance of history in this country, not just by young people, not just by millennials, but also grown-ups. I am amazed at the lack of knowledge Americans have about their own history. And that can't possibly be an accident. I mean, Canadians know more about the history of the United States than most Americans do. We're right at the Canadian border, if you didn't know.
Oh, I do know. My mom was from there.
Oh, cool.
yeah, it's pathetic the way that things have gone. And I talk about this in the book about how history education has kind of lapsed. But we're on the horns of a dilemma because when history is taught, it's the revisionist history about how evil the United States is. So it's really a question of, would you rather have people being taught nothing about history or being taught that our entire history is bad?
So who is controlling the educational agenda where history, America's history, is a criminal history, that this is an illegitimate country because it was founded on slavery? And that was the only thing that happened in America for hundreds of years was slavery, of course. Who controls how our kids are educated?
Well, you know, it's dispersed between different groups. The NEA, you know, teachers' unions, education establishment, the professional education educators in colleges who teach these same kind of things, but basically controlled by more of a progressive mindset, whether it's at the secondary school level or in universities.
Can we properly change the name of progressives to Bolsheviks? Can we, with reason, change the name progressives to Bolsheviks?
Potentially, but no one will know what you're talking about because no one the Bolsheviks are anymore.
Well, the Bolsheviks were a very small group of people in a very large country called Russia, and they took advantage of the tumult and chaos of World War I to foment a revolution, and the Tsar, Nicholas, didn't do himself any favors with how he handled it and eventually ended up being executed along with his family, and you had maybe 5%, a party that constituted perhaps 5 to 10% of the giant country of Russia, through force of arms, take over the entire nation.
Yes, and that was, in fact, Lenin's whole agenda. And he even said so going in, that it was only going to be a small minority that would be the vanguard of this new idea that would drag everybody else along with them into the, you know, communist utopia, which, of course, never came. And we see some of the same thinking today from progressives who say that the majority of Americans are ignorant, they don't know what they're talking about, they're, you know, toxic males or, you know, other kind of people with problems, and that only they, the progressive enlightened minority, are going to lead America into this future.
They really do believe. I mean, we've locally got a county executive who really believes that he and his mindset are vastly superior to the unwashed masses.
Oh yeah, I think that's absolutely typical of progressive thinking. Is if you disagree with them, then you're either completely ignorant, like you just haven't been educated enough, or you're stupid. You cannot be educated. But that there's no reasonable way to disagree with them, and that once you disagree with them, that just opens the door to them calling you a bunch of names like a fascist or whatever.
Well, of course, and I'm somebody who voted for Donald Trump, who also graduated magna cum laude from UB University at Buffalo, was Phi Beta Kappa, graduated magna cum laude, and was selected by faculty as an academic all-American. So I guess I don't fit the stereotype of a Trump voter or somebody who loathes this concept of progressivism, because I know exactly what it is. It's communism with a different name.
Oh, true. In fact, I think their stereotype is wrong, and you can cite opinion polls and other data to show that that stereotype is wrong. But you really can't shake them from this position. And the other thing that benefits them by taking that position is they can't be troubled to muster the facts to have to argue back. Like you can tell them all about history, all about why socialism doesn't work. You can tell them, you know, all of this information, but it just doesn't matter. They're not going to listen. They don't think they have to listen, and they don't even have to argue with you anymore. They simply have to, you know, declare you a reactionary, and that's it.
James Robbins, please hold the line, because we have a lot we want to get into, because, you know, we keep hearing more and more about socialism. We've got socialists that have been elected to Congress, one who is just an egregiously stupid woman out of New York City. It's amazing that somebody like that actually makes it to Congress, when I think about how desperately other people would love that job and would actually do a better job. James Robbins is with us, and his book is Erasing America, Losing Our Future by Destroying Our Past, and got a lot to talk about with him. James Robbins, whose mom was from Buffalo, we found out. James Robbins is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN, and the press release from his publicist caught my attention because he says the best thing about the new wave of Democratic progressives is how honest they are about their agenda and the means they will use to pursue it. They're not just hiding behind the mantle of liberalism. They're calling themselves what they are, socialists. And the problem is most Americans do not realize the misery caused by socialism and communism over the past 100 years in this world. It is profound. We're talking about tens of millions of people who died. And Stalin was so blatant about it. He was the leader of the Soviet Union. Stalin was so blatant about it, he actually said, one death is a tragedy. A million deaths is a statistic. And he lived by that mantra as the great socialist / communist leader of the Soviet Union. And we're with James Robbins on WBEN. So James, as far as erasing America's past, hear me out on this. You remember the controversy which continues over the Confederate flag, the so-called Confederate flag, which is really the battle flag of the Army of Northern Virginia, and the Confederate statues. You're aware of that kerfuffle. Remember that?
Oh, of course.
Okay, here's what I said at the time. I said, if you buy into this, you are treading on dangerous ground. And let me explain myself. The Confederate States of America lasted for 4 years as a slave nation or an attempted slave nation. The United States of America was a slave nation for decades. Not 4 years, but for decades. So logically, if you have to destroy every trace of a four-year Confederate States of America because it represents racism, logically, you have to do the same thing to the American flag and, for that matter, our Constitution.
Oh, well, for sure. Progressives are not shy about saying that. They'll say the Constitution is a slave document. The American flag flew over every slave trading ship, which was true of the American slave trading ships. The founding fathers, you know, slave owners, those who were slave owners, they're not shy about tearing down every aspect of the past that is connected to the institution of slavery, even remotely. Regardless of whatever else anyone did, if they were somehow touched by that national tragedy of slavery, then they have to be written out of history.
But we settled the issue of slavery. 1 million Americans died between 1861 and 1865 in the war, either for or against slavery. The Emancipation Proclamation was signed. The Constitutional Amendment. I mean, we saw the movie Lincoln. We know our history. We dealt with that problem.
Right. Well, something I point out in the book is that the generation that fought the war, and I'm talking about particularly on the northern side. I'm not talking about the southern side, but the northerners, the victors. They made peace with it. They won the war and they moved on. And they were the ones who had the most skin in the game, right? I mean, they were the ones who suffered all of these hundreds of thousands of deaths, more deaths than all of America's other wars put together. They were the ones who made the sacrifice to end slavery. And they moved on and they were okay with it. They did what they needed to do and they moved on. And in the Congress, in the decades after the Civil War, where you had Northern veterans and Southern veterans sitting in the halls of Congress, they were less partisan statistically than we have today.
That to me, it's what you're saying is absolutely true. We also had some former Confederate generals and enlisted people who, upon the demise of the Confederacy, signed up for the United States Army. The guy, one of the people who led American forces in the Spanish-American War was a Confederate general, then came back to be a United States of America general and was on horseback leading a parade through, I think it was Havana. And furthermore, as far as these old wounds, and we're only bringing this up because there is an attempt, folks, to erase our past. And these so-called progressives, see, they remind me of the Taliban in Afghanistan when the Taliban blew up those statues of Buddha, because obviously in an Islamic country, you can't have anybody competing, any polytheistic or other monotheistic religion in the fundamentalist-oriented Muslim countries. So they blew up the statues, historically significant statues of Buddha. And when I look at the parallels between what happened in Afghanistan under the Taliban and what happened, what is happening in this country right now, it is pretty freaky. It can be taken as pretty freaky. How does a socialist win in the 2018 elections? What was that all about? And you know of whom I'm speaking.
Oh, sure. Well, and not just 2018, but elections to come. And in fact, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is helping launch a progressive insurgency called Our Time, which is seeking to dislodge establishment Democrats, not Republicans, but dislodge establishment Democrats through primary process, which is how she got on the ballot in these safe districts that Democrats win all the time. And they're going to use the primary process to get the sort of old line liberals shoved out of the way so these new, younger, more progressive Democrats can come online. And that's how they do it. They go into these safe districts. They find a vulnerable Democrat, usually someone who's been there for a while or who's a white guy, you know, because white guys aren't allowed in the Democratic Party anymore. And then they primary them out. And that's going to be what they do in that they did it in 2018, but they're going to do it even more in 2020 because it was just so effective.
But what's the appeal of socialism?
Oh, well, you know, it's kind of a romantic notion of equality and justice and all this other jazz. I mean, it really, the appeal of it is all based on an illusion. It's all based on marketing. There's no actual appeal to it because it doesn't do the things that it promises. In fact, it does the reverse. Socialism does not lead to equality. It leads to inequality because you have the party apparatchiks, you know, the nomenclatura get all the goodies and nobody else does. And then you wind up with a situation like Venezuela with hyperinflation and as I said before, people eating their pets.
Which nobody even wants to consider here. We are talking with James Robbins. His book is Erasing America, Losing Our Future by Destroying Our Past. I could talk to this guy for like the next 5 days, but you might have some questions for my guest. And if you do, you can certainly get in on the conversation or you can sit back and listen. It is your call. And if you do want to call, the phone number is 803-0930. That's 803-0930. Star 930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. Is it safe to say that the old line liberal Democrats were all about creeping socialism? In other words, they took more of a 35,000-foot view, or they took more of a 20 to 25-year view of socialism. The current crop of younger socialists, they're more advocating revolutionary socialism, gaining power by revolution. Do you buy that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've almost said as much. And if you look at the history of the Democratic Party, that the lesson of 1972 for them and George McGovern, who, you know, was beaten by 49 states, was that they had to ramp it back and kind of, you know, not be so outspoken in how far they wanted to push to the left. And that was what was behind the rise of the New Democrats and Bill Clinton and, you know, the idea of co-opting popular centrist notions from Republicans, but then pushing the rest of their agenda through. But today they don't even pretend to do that. I mean, now it's just that they're going to be progressives. They're going to push it as far as they can. They want to talk about things like nationalizing the banks. And it's interesting to see that Ocasio-Cortez is going to be on the House Financial Services Committee, which oversees the banks. So talk about a brain trust. I mean, Maxine Waters is the head of it. So, you know, that's a great day for America.
Yeah, Maxine Waters. You know, I'm often at odds to figure out whom I believe the most ignorant person in Congress is, because any given day I hear stuff from there that if it came from a sixth grader's mouth, I would fail them in a classroom if I was a teacher.
Well, they're going to have a bidding war on who's the most ignorant on that committee. Not only them, but Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley and other. It's like the Democrats have chosen to dump all of the progressives into one committee, and it's the committee that oversees banking and housing. So if you want to get ready for the next financial collapse, it's if these people pass any legislation whatsoever.
So what do we do? I mean, we have a lot of parents that listen to this show. We have a lot of people who see the world kind of the way we see the world who listen to this show. And we are concerned that our children actually understand what socialism really is all about, what capitalism is really all about. What is the best thing a parent can do to prepare their child for the indoctrination, not just at school, at the grade level, but also heading into college and universities?
Oh, well, it's really important to talk to them and help inoculate them against these dangerous ideas and, you know, tell them about freedom and about opportunity and all the bad things that have happened in the past when these things are taken away. Because that's what it really comes down to. It's all about freedom. That was how America was founded. It's a country and a nation that was founded on an idea, not on a race or on land or anything else, but on a concept called freedom. That's what America is. And when we lose that, we lose the country. So it's really important for parents to, number one, find out what kids are being taught, and hopefully, you know, if it's really bad, then changing it. But if you can't do that, then give them the counter narrative, you know, give them all of the good ideas about America and all the positive things about freedom.
Do our black brothers understand that all the talk about evil white men, they can't buy into it because it isn't really a war against only white men? Eventually, it is a war against masculinity in general.
Well, you know,
I mean, they've got skin in the game as well. I mean, I always tell my black brothers, hey, I mean, I'm a white guy, but I always say my black brothers and sisters, I always say, look, this is not about white guys. This is about being a guy. This is about being a male and being an alpha male. They can't deal with that.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, when you have the APA defining masculinity as a malady, you know, a disease to be cured. And then when you have Gillette coming on, alienating almost 100% of their buyers by, you know, running a commercial saying that, you know, hey, guys, you have to be good. You can't be out there, you know, bullying and intimidating and being evil. Well, you know, it's pretty clear that the other side really hates guys. I mean, they really do. There's absolutely no reason for a man to vote for Democrats ever or any of these progressives ever, because they're 100% against you.
And these men, time out, but right? These men, James, are often involved in relationships with people who love men, whether they be heterosexual or homosexual relationship. I mean, parents have boys who will become men. It seems so counterproductive.
Oh, completely. If you are the parent of, a male child of a son, then there's absolutely no reason for you to buy into any of this stuff, because you're basically saying that your son has no future. Because so far as they're concerned, these radicals, you know, they would just assume your son doesn't have a future.
All right, stay with us. We got about 5 more minutes to go with our guest on News Radio 930, James Robbins, USA Today contributor. Also, his book, Erasing America, Losing Our Future by Destroying Our Past, something we've certainly talked about at great length before on this show on News Radio 930 WBEN. We are on the line with James Robbins. And one of the sentences that got me in the press release is the new progressives see no downside in pushing the Democrat Party agenda to the left edge of sanity. Can you explain that sentence? Can you amplify upon that?
Oh, sure. It's because the progressive ideas have become so part of the media narrative now that they're actually gaining traction among certain segments of the population. So the old school liberal kind of salami tactics of insinuating this stuff into politics, they don't need to do that anymore. So now the more outrageous, the better. It gets more media attention. It gets more people following them. And kids today aren't educated enough to know why all this is wrong.
So what do you see as the future? Number one, given the influence of the media, given the influence of the radical left at just about every level of our society, or as I call them, the Bolsheviks, what do you see happening with the wall, with the government shutdown?
Oh, well, the shutdown, you know, that's going to be tough because the progressives, I don't know, they're kind of mixed on this because they want the government to be open, but they also thrive on chaos. So I'm thinking kind of behind the scenes, they would really like things to lead towards kind of a breakdown. But on the other hand, the government over the years has made these sort of partial shutdowns so partial that they're not as big a crisis as they used to be. They don't hurt as much as they used to. Not to say they don't hurt somebody.
By the way, I'm not sure what your full-time job is, but here at Entercom, if anybody is a non-essential employee, they don't have a job for very long because, oddly enough, the company does not like paying people if they're not essential to the operation of the business.
Right. That's why government workers hate that term, non-essential personnel. You know, like, wait a minute, every job is essential to them, right? The interesting, and well, I see two inflection points coming up. Number one will be the second missed paycheck, which will be in a week and a half, which is really going to start hurting some people. But the other one is, according to the law, if a government worker is furloughed for 30 days, they may be eligible for firing under terms that are a lot easier than they usually would be. And so President Trump might just threaten to say, hey, we're going to drag this thing out to the point where I can just fire everybody and we'll solve it that way. And that would really be interesting.
James, before we let you go, is America going to become a socialist country or a socialist-like country over the next 10 years? What do you see as the prognosis?
No, I don't think so. I think that the progressives are blowing it by making what they're doing so overt, because most Americans still understand that socialism is a failed experiment in human history and that freedom and capitalism are still the way to go. And I think the louder they get about this, the more people they're going to alienate, and it's going to hurt them.
Well, capitalism ain't perfect. Unfettered capitalism is not the best thing, but I know it's a hell of a lot better than socialism.
Well, yeah, would you rather have unfettered capitalism or unfettered socialism?
I'd rather have unfettered capitalism.
There you go.
Because I'd actually like to keep some of what I make. I know that might sound awfully selfish of me, but when I look at what I send to Albany every week, it's pretty disgusting. Thanks very much for joining us, James Robbins. Good luck with the book, and thanks for the Buffalo reference, as your mom was from here.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
James Robbins joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, I've got an update for you on that McKinley situation. I just received a press release from the Buffalo Teachers Federation. You are not going to believe, you're not going to believe your ears what I'm going to get into next. I'm hoping to get Phil Remore to join us right after 4 o'clock. It's like, we do so few guests on this show, and this has been a guest central week so far on the program, and it's just sometimes it just works out that way.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.